purposely. Your life, God's purpose. Listen at onpurposely.com.
Welcome to the bonfire. It's great to be walking together, to be seeking God, growing in our faith. And we gather with scripture, with stories. We gather because we want to go deeper. And in this season, we've been focusing on prayer. Prayer is an area in our relationship with God that's vital, that God wants us to cry out deep, calling out to deep. We can get honest, we can get real, and we can live out our faith as we pray, as we seek God, as we don't give up. And God hears prayers. God is gracious. God comes alongside of us. And today we're going to look at a passage that really highlights bold prayers. We can bring bold prayers to God because God is so gracious. And he says, come to my throne of grace with boldness, with confidence. And courage is confidence in God. Confidence in his presence, his promises, his power. How much confidence do you have in God? Sometimes we get distracted by the circumstances. Sometimes we're overfocused on ourselves. Our confidence wavers because we're thinking about our performance. We're thinking about the challenges and the obstacles. We're thinking about past failures. And that's not where our focus should be. It should be on God, his character. And as we trust God, we're going to pray. We're going to communicate with God. We're going to beseech God. And we're going to cry out. Prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer is a starting point. Moses in the Bible started out with action, then he realized, I need to pray. I need to pray to get close to God, to abide with God. God's supernatural power comes through as we pray. And today, as you look at Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then let's unpack it together. First, this is Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. This is the prayer as there's persecution and challenges, as the situation's getting more difficult. And in your life, you might be feeling like some situations are getting more difficult. How are you going to respond? The prayer here, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of our holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God boldly, and all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. This is a bold prayer. First, it's literally for boldness. God, enable your servants to speak with boldness. We might die, we might be beaten, we might be thrown in jail. The cost is worth it. We want to be faithful. God, we don't want to shrink back. We want to be bold about what we know is true. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We want to be bold about you. Without God's help, we're not bold. We're not courageous. Without God's help, sometimes we're timid. We're silent. We're retreating. We're passive. We feel defeated. But with God's help, the righteous are bold like a lion. And God is the one who will bring you a boldness greater than your fears. You still might feel scared on the inside, but what's happening? The Holy Spirit is giving you power, love, courage, boldness. They know they need it. They know where to go. When you know what you need and you know where to go, God moves. He not only gives them boldness, but then they also pray that God would do the supernatural. Signs, miracles, wonders. God would bring healing. God would transform lives. God would bring salvation. God would bring restoration, reconciliation. There's so many things God does that are supernatural. The laws of a land can't do it. Couple principles can't do it. We're talking about a work in the heart that's so deep. I was stuck with not being able to forgive people. And then God supernaturally not only forgave me, but changed my heart so I'll forgive everyone fully and I'll live that life. That was a work that was supernatural. I, in my own strength, could not do that. And there's going to be a lot of things in your own strength you just cannot do. And you hit a wall, and they know that God, there's no limits with God. And that's why they call on God to do a supernatural work. We need a work of the Holy Spirit in our churches, in our homes, in our hearts, across our land. We need a move of the Holy Spirit. And not only do they cry out for God to move powerfully and supernaturally, but then they're filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, God's presence, an overflow. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things we want. But do we know how to acquire those things? Those things don't come by focusing on those things. You don't focus on the fruit. You focus on the relationship. You ask God to be filled. You ask God for the Holy Spirit. God says, your temple, it's the body. He wants to fill our temples, fill our bodies with the Holy Spirit. And how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? A bold prayer is that, God, would you fill me right now with your Holy Spirit? I turn from sin. I confess my sin. God, I surrender to you fully. And now I don't want to be empty. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So God, pour out your Spirit today, right now, in me, that there may be an overflow of hope. That's a bold prayer. Don't miss that prayer. You have not because you ask not. If you don't ask God, you don't receive from God. God wants us to come to him, pray, ask bold prayers, because then it's clear he answered the prayer. He's the one who did it. He gets the glory. And to pray, we have to humble ourselves. We have to acknowledge how much we need God. We have to acknowledge that God is wiser than us. God is more powerful than us. When we pray, what we're saying is, Jesus, help. Prayer is a cry from a deep place. You have deep longings. You have deep desires. Turn those into prayers. It's great to pray before you go to bed. And a lot of people will pray, God, give me a peaceful night's sleep. That's a blessing. That's a good thing. It's great to pray before a meal and say, God, please bless this food to my body. This food is a gift from God, no question. It's a good time to pray. Some people pray for their house to be protected or their pets to have a good day. My dog would have a good day. You can pray for, you know, what's happening in your house, and you can pray those prayers. Those prayers, especially when you think about a peaceful mind at night and you think about a healthy body and thank God for food, those are good prayers. But a lot of people don't go much deeper than that. And I'm telling you, there's a greater work of the kingdom. And it's time to go deeper in prayer. And what you read in Acts chapter 4 is that they pray for boldness. They pray for God to supernaturally show up. They pray that they be filled with the Spirit. And then you know what happens out of those bold, deep prayers? They start to preach the word boldly. They start to go into places where people reject God and they lead people to Jesus. They start to unite together in love. They start to live a life of generosity. They see who has a need. And what you see in Acts chapter 4 is they're not feeling defeated. They're not feeling isolated, and they're not feeling distracted. How many followers of Jesus today are feeling isolated, defeated, and distracted? We live in a world of all kinds of distractions. I mean, my laptop, my phone, it's all day long distractions. Now, it can be redemptive. We can see thousands turn to know the Lord through those. At the same time, they can really get you off course. There's a lot of things. Isolation. In the Western culture, we value our privacy, our comforts, our pleasures, and we like to stay clear of a lot of different people, and we like a lot of space. But I'm telling you, God does his greatest work when we unite together in relationships, when we take relationship risks. And you might say, I'm not going to ever talk to a stranger. I haven't built up any respect for a stranger. Look what happens in the book of Acts. Strangers become friends. People they don't know become part of them, welcomed. They belong. There's a love that transcends some of the cultural norms and barriers. That's the way Jesus lived. We have to take our culture. And this is, a culture is literally a people's thoughts and a people's ways. And then match it up to Scripture. And when Scripture's greater, bolder, more wonderful than our culture, we have to choose God's thoughts and God's ways. And our culture wants to drift towards isolated, distracted, and feeling defeated. That's not where God wants you. And it takes prayer to step out of that, to be courageous, be countercultural, and then see God move. Are you praying for your city where you live? That God would change the city, transform lives, that God would drive out the darkness. God's love and light would take over. God would send out workers into the harvest field. People would serve the city, love people in the city. Churches would be vibrant in the city. Churches would be united in the city. That's a bold prayer to pray, God, change my city. And I believe that vision is just one that God wants us to own, pray, believe, and be part of the work that God wants to do. Prayer leads you to action. In prayers, you listen to God. God gives fresh vision. God fills you with the Spirit. There's a powerful sense of purpose. You know why you're doing what you're doing, and you know what God wants, and you're doing it in faith, and you're doing it with other people, and there's no limits to what God can do, and it's exciting, and you're on it. In the book of Acts, it's palpable. There's an excitement. They're praying. It's not just, all right, prayer time. Who wants to show up? Not many people? Okay. Who wants to pray? Nobody really? Okay. How much more time on the prayer time? That's not the mood in Acts chapter 4. They're in the middle of a spiritual battle. They're trying to take cities. They are aware that without God's presence, this thing is going to get stuck. It's going to stall. And they know that as they cry out to God, that God is faithful. God delivers. God is powerful. And as they cry out to him with bold prayers, God moves. You know, sometimes it's almost like a picture in scripture where God's cheering us on in prayer. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Don't just ask for little things. Go for the big stuff. He's a big God. He wants to do a great work. And unite together in prayer. And when we take that posture, humbling ourselves, turning from sin, uniting in prayer, hungry for God, believing God, full of hope. A lot of people today don't even have hope that their own church can be vibrant. A lot of people today don't have hope that the culture in their home can be spiritually alive. A lot of people don't have hope today that they can lead their city to Jesus. That's got to change. It changes in prayer and bold prayers. For generations, children and families in the poorest places in the world have struggled to find clean water, food, and a chance for a brighter future. But all that can change in this generation. You can be part of the solution. Go to worldconcern.org. As you participate, this is what will happen. Villages will be transformed far beyond where the road ends, and children and families will receive the love of Christ. You can make a difference. Go to worldconcern.org. Let's be part of the solution together. Here's some things that have been on my heart and my mind and in the prayer, and these are some things that for me are on the bolder side. I'm believing that God wants to do a new work. On a national level, God wants to bring the gospel to everyone in our country. On a national level, healing in the land. On a national level, returning to Jesus. You know, on a national level, churches united, churches healthy, churches believing God's word, proclaiming Jesus. On a national level, God has already placed people in cities that now can go public with their faith, be courageous, and live out their faith in those places where they live, work, learn, and play. That vision, it's something I believe God wants to do. It's something I'm praying for. There's something we're going to be starting 28 Days of Hope. Hope, he's the God of hope. And we need hope. Hope is that confident and joyful trust in someone. It's a confident, joyful trust in God. Our hope is only as strong as our God. We're in a culture right now where there's a narrative of hopelessness. I was talking to someone this week that doesn't follow Jesus. And they said, every time I watch the news, I get discouraged. Every time I see the wars, every time I see kids without water, every time I see and hear, and you just fill in the blank. They said, I got to step back from the news online. I got to step back from the news and watching so much television. The news can bring you down. It can be discouraging. There's a narrative of hopelessness that I don't believe or buy into, that I reject, intentionally reject. The statistics are high right now in terms of people feeling despair, anxiety, hopelessness. Extremely high amounts of stress. The American Psychological Association reports this as well. But our God brings peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Our God brings rest for your soul. Our God builds people up. Our God gives hope in the darkest situations. And I know God wants to do a mighty work. 28 Days of Hope is including some habits that we cultivate. You say, when you read the scripture every day, prayer flows out of that. Scripture and the prayer go together. If you're thinking about bold prayers, they are based in scripture. The prayers that flow out of God's word. He said he'll bring healing in the land when his people humble themselves, pray, and seek his face, turn from their sins. He forgives, he heals. That's a bold prayer for the land, but it flows out of scripture. When God is talking about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, talking about each of the churches, Jesus is guiding clearly the churches to step out of sin. Don't be stuck. Don't be going backwards. Don't be going sideways. Go forward in faith. Run the race. The fullness of what God wants to do. Those prayers for local churches to be alive and united, they flow right from scripture. John 17, Jesus prays for the churches to be united. When we pray that the churches in our city will be united and the pastors will be united, we pray that our own churches will be united, different ages, races, ethnicities, nations, ages, personalities coming together. That's a supernatural work through Jesus. It flows out of scripture. What I'm not saying is just start up with a bunch of bold, random prayers and make up this big list just to pray something big. That's not what I'm saying today. What I'm saying is scripturally based, bold prayers that include your own boldness, your ownership of the vision God's given you, your using your gifts in kingdom purposes. And you are not afraid of people. You're not concerned about how much they like you, how much they approve, how they're going to respond, what's going to happen in the relationship, how well you know them. Like all those things that want to tell you to be quiet, shrink, be quiet, shrink, retreat, be passive. You can't make a difference. You can't have impact. You can't have any influence. All those lies in those false pressures, in those idols, they go away. And as we pray, God makes a way. God creates a space. And you're filled with purpose. Jesus had this steely determination going into Jerusalem. His death and resurrection, it is and always will be the crux of our faith. Jesus died for our sins. He's risen. He died so we can live. How do we know we're going to live? Because he's not dead. He's not in the grave. He's risen. And you see Jesus' prayers, and he continues to pray, and he continues to be faithful. Faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness in prayer. It doesn't matter when they mock him, beat him, spit on him, and kill him as he lays down his life as well. In those moments, he continues to pray. He's praying from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. He's praying continually. And those bold prayers, Jesus is faithful. Prayer is a key part of it. And as he's faithful, the blessings are ours through the grace of God. That's how Jesus lived, in Gethsemane praying. It was a massive, the wrath of God poured out on him, massive sacrifice. He became sin, died on the cross, massive sacrifice. God's going to ask you to make some massive sacrifices, some massive risks, massive steps of obedience, massive steps of faith, not small things. We want to keep it small. We want to keep it safe. We want to keep it simple, predictable, routine. We want to keep everything contained. We want to be in control. We don't want to go out on a limb. Jesus was pleased when Peter wanted to walk on the water. The other one stayed in the boat. That's a bold prayer. Jesus, I want to walk on the water with you. And God's pleased. The other one's in the boat. They're going to be walking on the water. Maybe not that day. Maybe not that water. But they're going to be going out on the water. In the book of Acts, they're going to be risking everything. They're going to be dying. They're going to be killed for their faith. They're going to learn how to walk on the water. They're going to learn bold prayers. There's just a flavor of Christianity in America right now, and it's American Christianity, it's cultural Christianity. It just takes out the boldness, and it tries to fit in. And it gets real casual about prayer and reading the Bible. And the home is not seen as an important place spiritually. And as a result, there's a lot of drifting. There's a lot of lukewarm. And there's a lot of lost potential. You say, how is this going to change? Is it going to change with one more conference, one more great song that comes out, one more cool app? Those things, God can use those things, and he does use those things. But I believe that it's going to be God's people praying, because when we pray, God reminds us of who we are. We are already loved. We are already his. Our identity is secure. There's got to be a deep security in our soul for us to move forward. If we're insecure, we're not going to move forward. There's not going to be bold steps of faith. So we need that security that comes from prayer and abiding and God's promises and God's word. And when that security is there, we know our identity. When you know your identity and you have that security, then you move forward in purpose and authenticity. Those are the works, bold prayers, deep working that God wants to do that we can't do ourselves. God will use other people in your journey, but that direct time with God, the conviction that comes from God, I'm encouraging you today to dream again, to dream in a fresh way, fresh hope, fresh vision. Look at Acts chapter 4 and look what God's doing. And as they're living out their faith, again, just writing down those steps, they're not defeated, they're not isolated, they're not distracted. They know their identity. They're secure in their destiny. They know if they're killed, they're going to heaven. They know heaven far outweighs earth. They know they're going to be here a short time. And they know the kingdom's what's important. And as opposition increases, and there's more rejection, there's more hostility, there's more oppression, they don't shrink back. Their prayer is, enable your servants to speak with boldness. And their prayer is, God, do what we can't do. The supernatural. God, fill us with your presence. Your presence is our joy, our treasure. Your presence is our very life. And as they pray, they become more united. As they pray, they become more generous. As they pray, they're countercultural. As they pray, they become more like Jesus. Don't you want to grow in your faith? Don't you want to really move forward spiritually? Really grow and become like the Lord. That's going to happen, bold prayers. I believe that there's potential now for revival in our cities. I believe, even though you look at the numbers are important to notice. The facts are important. The reports are important. Following Jesus has been declining in America now for a couple decades. The youngest generation, there's a clear decline in faith. And don't let those facts or those reports dictate in your mind, and so that you start to put limits on God. I have seen, as you study church history, I have seen as you study American history, there are ebbs and flows, and you know revival comes when things are not prosperous, but things are feeling almost hopeless. And what happens? God's people are stirred and begin to pray. And they don't just pray, bless this food to my body, bless my dog, and bless me as I sleep tonight. Those are good prayers, to pray for your body and to pray for your sleep. But the prayers and the crying out to God, it's so much deeper, it's so much bolder. And when God's people are free to pray, God starts to show up and move. I don't know how the two are linked. There's mystery there. God is sovereign. But I know also with clarity that prayer is linked to revival. And if you want your home environment to change, if you want your church environment to change, if you want your city environment to change, those changes happen when we cry out to God supernaturally in prayer. So I hope in this series, you're encouraged with prayer. You're encouraged about what God can do. You're encouraged that the story is not over. You're encouraged that God's plan is to work through the church. You're encouraged as you're seeing more people pray. And you're encouraged as you bring people in to pray with you. That might be your biggest step. Your biggest, boldest step right now is to start in your relationships. And it could be with family members. Could we pray together? Let's pray. Let's take a little time praying. I have four kids, and those prayer times, sometimes, you know, it goes longer. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes, you know, situations changed. We're getting a little sleepy at night. But last night, late at night, almost midnight, just praying with one of my kids. I pray, he prays, I pray, he prays, I pray, he prays. And we're just seeking God together. Taking those steps, it could be in your Bible study. You say, you know what? Let's take extra time to pray. Or maybe you share this with someone else and say, hey, take a listen to this episode. And what is God speaking to you through this message? How could we pray at our church more? We started drive-through prayer at our church the last 4 years. There's also a digital prayer wall. There's prayer after church services. We're always thinking, how can we pray more? Be intentional. That's a bold step to pray. And as you pray, bold prayers. Here's a bold prayer. Ask God to give you boldness and courage. Ask God to give you boldness and courage. And I say it's bold because God's going to give it to you if you want it, you believe him. If you ask for that, you're going to receive courage and boldness from God. You just ask and you're going to receive. You don't ask, you're not going to receive. But you're going to receive courage and boldness. And then you know what's going to happen? God's going to bring situations, opportunities, open door. Here's a person. Here's a text opportunity. Here's something in person. We're having a meal together. Here's an email that I'm sensing the Holy Spirit wants me to send. God's going to give you opportunities. There's going to be people around. And there's going to be situations, whether it's Easter or whether it's church on a weekend, a Bible study, an outreach, an open gym. There's going to be different things happening where you're going to be able to say, do you want to come with me? Do you want to talk about this? Can I share my story with you? Hey, have you ever thought about Jesus? And the boldness is just going to start to come. And you're going to be like, "What? What is this? I don't usually do this. This is different. God's doing something new. God's doing, and this is what God's doing. He's hearing your bold prayers. He's giving you courage. He's opening doors, and he's changing lives. That's how he's always worked, is that humble people who can't do it without God start to pray boldly, and they pray together, and their lives change. It's not just a form of religion. It's a deep work on the inside. And as their lives change, their blessings, they get shared generously, and more people start to have hope, and more people start to experience God. And their souls are satisfied because taste and see that the Lord is good. Because God is good and he's powerful, we pray boldly. Because God invites us to his throne of grace, we can come with confidence. Confidence in God, that's courage. God wants to give you that as you pray. And when God gives you courage, cities will be changed. Don't settle for just a small vision, being stuck, isolated, discouraged, defeated, distracted. God has something so much greater for you. Let's go to our God of hope with boldness, and let's pray together bold prayers. This is The Bonfire. Thanks for taking time today. Again, share this message with a friend. Let's continue to fan the flame of what God is doing in our hearts and around the nation for his glory and our good.